This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark and Noel Lim. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking with Thomas Fan, chairperson of Bersih 2.0, on elections during COVID-19. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Looking at Asian markets, the Nikkei was up 1%, Kospi up 0.2%. Hang Seng and the Singapore's STI, however, were down 0.2%. Shanghai Composite still closed. FBM KLCI up 2%.
And in US markets, it was a green day. The Dow Jones was up 0.4%, the S&P 500 up 0.8%, and the NASDAQ up 0.5%. So for more on international markets, this morning we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited. Thank you for joining us this morning, Tim. Now, markets rallied last night despite the impasse on a stimulus package. What is driving this, even as COVID cases in the US continue to rise?
Yeah, I think what's happening is the market's looking that we're going, actually bond market as well, pricing in that there's going to be a robust recovery, and you're starting to see that with a bit more rotation as well. So I think the market's looking past that. I think it's looking to possibly a vaccine, and that people will get on and you know, business hopefully will, for the most part, will resume at a fairly brisk pace. So I think that's what the market's looking at right now.
What do you make of the vice presidential debate? Might the markets be pricing in lower odds of a contested election?
Yeah, that I don't know. And I have to tell you, I really don't know what to expect. But I just, given the way this year has gone, I don't expect anything to go smoothly. So, you know, I think that there's still something there. And it, again, and it's going to be a big difference as to who gets elected as well, with the agenda and I think and the market. So, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And I don't think it, you know, the polls, I don't, after 2016, I don't like to listen to those too much anymore. But, you know, again, this election is, you know, could be a very big wild card.
Yeah, so staying stateside as well, Tim, what do you make of the initial jobless claims, which fell less than forecasted to 840,000 versus the consensus figure of 820,000?
You know, I think in the job market, it's really pretty good, except if you're in the hospitality, you know, of course, the airlines and some of these industries that are impaired. And, you know, it looks like they will be impaired for some time. So other than that, I think it's a good trend. And, you know, I think that the market's expecting a little more of it.
The House Judiciary Committee concluded that big tech like Google and Apple were violating U.S. antitrust law. Do you expect anything impactful to come out of that finding? And will this dampen investor enthusiasm for the tech stocks?
I don't think anything can dampen enthusiasm for tech stocks, except, you know, I think that this has been overhanging the market for some time. And, you know, again, I wouldn't expect, especially if, let's say, a Democratic sweep, for example, I don't think that would hurt the big tech companies as consensus. So I may go the other way on that. But I think there's going to be some more regulation given the control that they have. But I don't think it's really impacting anybody's decisions right now.
And what about looking at China as well? I mean, are the proposed U.S. restrictions on Chinese payment apps going to affect Ant Group's plans for an IPO in Shanghai and China? And I mean, how might this affect some of the U.S. financial institutions who are just beginning to make inroads into China?
Yeah, you know, I tell you, I think it's interesting. Ant has, I want to say 700 million users at least in mainland China, I believe mostly. Compared to, just put it in perspective, PayPal has 300 million. So I think that the region is their home region, and I think that's what people will focus on. And institutions, foreign institutions, U.S. institutions that will be operating in China will adapt their fintech somehow to compensate for whatever restrictions that there are. But no, I don't think it'll interrupt the IPO at all.
And looking at you know, what's going on with a Biden win, will that be bullish for Asian equities in terms of lessening U.S.-China trade friction?
Seems like that's the consensus. But to me, I think the biggest deal that I see is the Asian region itself, not exports. I think the dollar looks like, my bet is it will weaken. So export-oriented economies to the U.S., I don't think that's the play. I think it's within Asia. There's enough going on, and I think the region is robust enough that I think it really doesn't matter who gets elected, and I think it's really going to be a dollar trade more than export-oriented oriented commerce.
If the result swung the other way for the elections, how would this affect sentiment in the region?
I mean, for Trump, I take it.
Yes.
I think that markets are doing pretty well right now with him in there. And I think that, You know, again, I think it's going to be, I think Asian companies that export are going to have to focus on establishing a presence in North America. That's where I think a trend is going to be. And I honestly don't think it's going to really matter. I think the dollar is going to really be the big determining factor. So again, no matter who gets in there, I think the dollar will still weaken. And I don't think it really is going to matter that much.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, based in Chicago, giving us some insight into basically all of the news that's been happening in the US and the uncertainty that we're facing as we head into the last legs of the campaign period. And his point that he makes, that he doesn't think that nothing will really dampen the enthusiasm for tech stocks, not even the latest House Judiciary Committee conclusion. So I guess because, yeah, you know, this was something that we were that was on the periphery for quite a long time, perhaps even almost just to be expected, really.
I think maybe also political fatigue has set in, right? And markets are like, okay, whatever, you know, and they just focus on earnings and whatever that's trendy. But he made this point that he thinks that the dollar will weaken and Asian exporters may suffer. And he feels that the dollar will still weaken regardless who wins.
Yeah, but he also did make the point of the fact that he also doesn't think that US restrictions will really affect the Ant Group plans for an IPO. And he's just of the opinion that any of the US financial institutions will just adapt themselves to work around any restrictions because of the fact that the Chinese region right now is a very attractive prospect in terms of potential customers. But continuing this look at the US, Nancy Pelosi, who is the Democratic Speaker of the House of Representatives, has raised the stakes of the stimulus talks after ruling out providing any new aid to troubled U.S. airlines in the absence of a stimulus deal with President Donald Trump's administration. So this is a shift from what Pelosi said last week, which was that airlines would receive assistance either through a standalone bill or as part of broader stimulus legislation. So it could be that she's just adopting a bit of a harder stance and as a bit of a negotiation tactic, since I think there has been some conversation over Trump's refusal to kind of entertain negotiations being just one of his long-standing Trump tactics.
She elaborated on this where she says there is no standalone bill for the airlines without a bigger bill, adding that congressional Democrats needed a guarantee that the White House would agree to help for state and local government employees, also measures to curb the coronavirus and aid for the unemployed and poor families.
So with the chances of a deal now before the November 3rd election seeming so uncertain, many economists have been downgrading their forecasts for economic growth in the fourth quarter, suggesting that recovery in the U.S. may stall or come close to stalling in the absence of any further fiscal support. Now, Morgan Stanley has also announced yesterday that it's agreed to buy the American investment management firm Eaton Vance Corp for about $7 billion in a cash and stock deal. And this would quickly expand Morgan's investment management business in order to and add more offerings as well for their retail investors. So this is the latest move by CEO James Gorman to try and reshape Morgan Stanley into one of the biggest global money managers through a series of acquisitions that began just before he took over more than a decade ago.
Morgan Stanley's wealth and investment management business already accounts for 40 to 50% of the bank's revenue. So adding Eaton Vance would nearly double assets under management within their division.
Yes, and it might also help grow their revenue while in an inexpensive way. So we'll be keeping a close watch on these developments. But right now we are heading into not the news yet, but some messages. And then after that, we're speaking with Thomas Fun, chairperson of Brexit 2.0 on having elections during a pandemic. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.